Okay.
You might have to gap list because people are up talking and stuff.
Okay. Lightly.
Slam it. Door, hit it. I'm gonna hit it for you. Hit it. Come on, hit it.
Good morning. We're here today for the December 6th committee meeting of Health, Recreation, and Events. How you doing? First order, do we have approval of the minutes from the October 4th meeting?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Next, we have public comments on the agenda. Do we have anybody?
Madam Chair, I'd like to mention something real quick, if it's okay. Just as a, I want to make sure that we're doing this the right way. Eric, the committee is actually the Recreation Committee, correct, until it's voted on by council to change to the Health, to what they have here now. Health, Recreation, and Events Committee. And it's still known as Recreation until council votes on that. Is that correct?
Well, it would require a council action.
Yes, sir. Thanks. So we're currently in the Recreation Committee meeting until they vote on this name change.
I suppose that's technically correct, sir.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you, Gary.
So I would make a motion that maybe you can, as the chairman, to open the Recreation Committee meeting instead of the Health one, so that we're technically correct on the record.
We'll call to order the Recreation Committee meeting of December 6, 2021.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome, Mr. Santos. Okay. Next, we have public comment on the agenda.
Get up. I'm old.
Okay. Thank you. If you could state your name and address for the record.
And I made notes so I could cover my point. My name is Al Bradshaw Whittemore. I live at 577 Antebellum Lane, Mount Pleasant. I'm the USA Pickleball Ambassador, one of seven now in Charleston County, and a PPR certified pickleball coach. And I would like to thank the Rec Department for all they've done so far to support pickleball, both opportunities, both indoor and outdoor. Done a great job. However, all these sites are shared with other sports, and except for Park West, only have a maximum of four courts, which is equal to 16 players each. And often we have a lot more than that. And pickleball has exploded in this area. The Mount Pleasant Team Reach application has almost 1,050 members, not just older. It's not for just older adults. It's from ages 10 to 90 plus. I taught fifth graders at Whitesides, and I've taught older people. I teach at the senior center every single week. And I understand that there's plans at Muggsy Kerr Tennis Center on Whipple Road. It's calling for six hard tennis courts in the future. In my opinion, those existing, it'll make the existing members happy, but it won't add any more members, in my opinion. I'd propose that four pickleball courts can be built on the same area as one tennis court. So what I'd like to suggest is that a minimum of eight pickleball courts and up to 12 dedicated pickleball courts replace two or three of the proposed tennis courts. This would attract pickleball players to one centralized location where we could play by skill level, we could give lessons or whatever, and it would add pickleball players to the membership, which I would say would be a minimum of $10,000 to $20,000 a year due to the fee structure they have now. Also, pickleball tournaments could be held there if we had 12 courts or even 8 courts. And since North Charleston put in their 10 dedicated courts, the ambassadors have organized and had two tournaments that were very successful. The first one, we actually gave a check for $4,000 to the city of North Charleston. So that brought in revenue.
Thank you, sir. We have a two-minute limit. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Covered all.
Madam Chair, I just had one question. Not for you, but Steve or Eric. On the Muggsy Kerr Center, we have a old baseball field that's off to the far end. Is it possible? I mean, are they planning on expanding to there as well, or are you just going to expand the existing tennis courts? And if so, can we put the pickleball courts on the old baseball field?
The plan for expansion at the tennis center is to use that baseball field, the old baseball field, which is hopefully to be replaced at Carolina Park.
Right.
It's what we're building at Carolina Park. That enables us to use that space over there to expand the tennis courts over there. So our plan is for 6 new tennis courts over there in that area. So there's not another area. We can't expand the 6 new courts and add in the pickleball courts. It would be an either or at that location.
So I guess, like the Marion Brown Center, they use that for pickleball.
Right.
Will they be able to use these courts for pickleball as well?
Not at the tennis center. They wouldn't be able to use the ones at the tennis center unless we dedicate them as shared courts where they are part pickleball and tennis, where they're used for both. I believe the request that is coming in is to actually have dedicated courts where you actually build a pickleball court that is used only for pickleball.
But there's no intention of building any dedicated pickleball courts that you know of, do you?
No, there's not.
It's a growing sport. You can go out there and see them all over that they're playing. I mean, so I'm just wondering where is there a possibility that we can expand pickleball to help? Because it's like I said, I go out there and watch them. The seniors, they're out there all the time playing, and the courts are full.
Right. Well, we provide 19 courts right now within the town, and we have plans for new courts at Waterfront Park. We have new courts at Carolina Park. That is on our master plan for Carolina Park, and also for Rifle Range Road, when we eventually finish Rifle Range Road. Most of our facilities, as you probably are aware, whether it's a rectangular field is used for lacrosse, it's used for soccer, it's used for football. A basketball court is used for basketball, it's used for volleyball, it's used for pickleball. We play pickleball on those facilities as well. So most of our courts, most of our facilities are used for multiple purposes. Tennis courts are used for pickleball. But if, you know, obviously we can, whatever the will of council is, you know, if there's a decision to dedicate courts only for pickleball that would be used specifically for that, that can always be done.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. Next speaker.
Hello, I am Guangming Whitley, and I live at 809 Post Oak Drive, and I'm here to address item number 5 on the agenda, discussion with regards to a referendum. So we all know that you get what you pay for, and that is so true in our town. Our budget provides basic services like fire, police, public services, but we lack the budget to achieve major projects for the town, capital projects like the Mount Pleasant Way, building out Rifle Range Park with a gym and ball field, and maybe another community center with arts facilities like an auditorium for community groups to perform and facilities for seniors. Without a referendum on the ballot in 2022 to raise the funds necessary to achieve these things, they will be years, if not decades, away as we chip slowly away at them dollar by dollar, as we just sort of shift little budgets here and there to try to achieve these things. We live in a world-class town, and our citizens expect world-class facilities. You just heard the last speaker here asking for more pickleball courts. We can't afford more pickleball courts. We can't afford dedicated pickleball courts. But the key components of this are the total dollar amount, and that's something that for council to decide of what's reasonable. For $18 a year on a $500,000 house, that can raise $1 million for the town. So you could have a sunsetting fee, a 10-year sunsetting fee of millage rate that is dedicated to specific programs, specific projects. And I think that's something that the citizens of this town would vote for, because without it, we don't get any of that. The timeline is that the language must be finalized by August. I've also asked for this to be on the PJL committee, because that is sort of the role of that committee to finalize the language. But the role of this committee is to finalize the scope of and what dollar amounts or what projects should be prioritized. And I think that that's something. So I'm asking that this be on the agenda every month until this committee has finalized and is ready to recommend a scope to PJL so that we can craft the language of the referendum, because it'll be key to make it so clear to the public what dollars are going to be spent on what projects, so that they have a clear understanding of where their dollars are going and what bang they're getting for their buck. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Whitley.
Madam Chair, just one thing.
Yes.
Eric, she mentioned the gym over there off of Rifle Range Road. That was Greenbelt funds that paid for that land, right?
That's correct.
So we have to use that toward Greenbelt type of things. In other words, a gym probably wouldn't be able to go there, right?
Don't know. We know we're limited in vertical construction,
right,
since we use Greenbelt funds. And
you could do fields like soccer fields or what fields and all that, but gyms and things like that, I thought would be questionable.
when it's time, when there's funding available to move forward with that project, we'll have to take the approved master plan for that site and have the conversation with Greenbelt as to what will be allowed. There may be some items in the master plan that aren't allowed because of the funding source that purchased it. But we could do that at that time. But, you know, in general, yes, we're limited to vertical construction.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Patrick O'Brien. I live in Park West. I'm a pickleball player and took up the sport about a year ago. The remarkable thing about pickleball is it's a hospitality and it's also a social sport in that it's inclusivity that makes it magical. It's age group from anyone from 85-year-olds to 10-year-olds that I play with on a weekly basis. Daily, I see 30 to 40 different people that I play with each day that come to sites. It brings people to Mount Pleasant. If there was a site that was dedicated that had multiple courts, it allows the ability to host not only tournaments, but to have a culture where the better players are teaching the younger players. Anybody in this room could get up tomorrow and come to one of the sites where people have to purchase a pickleball net, keep it in the trunk of their car, bring it to the site, convert the tennis court, make it a pickleball, and still play every day. 30 to 40 people at all these sites. With a dedicated site, it's a Kevin Costner, if you build it, they will come kind of thing. People from outside the area will come here. The people that are in the area here will be well served, and it makes Mount Pleasant a world-class destination for a hospitality sport that's just absolutely exploding nationwide.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Skip Evans, 3563 Somerset Hill Court, Mount Pleasant. I'd like to put this in perspective a little bit. Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America. There are 4.2 million pickleball players in the country. The largest percentage lives in the southeast of the southern states. South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, West Virginia, and District of Columbia. From a personal perspective, I'm a old college competitive athlete, and my wife got me playing about a year ago. It gives me an opportunity to compete. It's the friendliest group of people I've ever met. This sport is much larger than just, I think, a local issue. We're getting interest media nationally. Pickleball is now being broadcast on the CBS Sports Network and also the Tennis Channel. So this is a big, big deal. What I do in retirement is I'm a Charleston City tour guide, $284 per day per person for somebody that visits the Charleston area. That's serious revenue for the city coffers. So anything that we could do to promote people to visit us and play pickleball, and from a public health standpoint, the benefits are undisputable. Thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Not to beat pickleball to death, but my name is John Tortorici. I live at 1424 Jackson Street, and I've been a Mount Pleasant resident since 1988. Had three children, gone through the school systems here, and the rec department's done a great job in terms of, you know, when I was a younger guy wanting to play basketball or do this or do that, my kids, baseball fields and basketball courts and tennis courts and everything else, they've done a great job. But as I've gotten older, you know, I've gotten into playing pickleball, and there's not a lot of resources available for the older people as they get older, you know. And they, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal yesterday or a couple weeks ago where they said, you know, 60 is the new 40, right? So you have a lot of active people from an age standpoint that are involved in these things than there used to be. And pickleball is really an activity where I think some of the town's resources should be allocated age-wise from, you know, continue obviously to support the young people, but I think some of the older people should be supported as well. And even though pickleball, you know, maybe be from 10 to 90, I think the average age right now is 50 plus. So I think a proper allocation of resources would be to pickleball for the residents of Mount Pleasant. So thank you.
Thank you.
Morning.
Hello.
Greer Hanlon, 3865 Fifel Street. I run Charleston Elite Lacrosse Club here in Mount Pleasant, and for the second time in 3 years, we were voted the number one lacrosse club in South Carolina, and many of which of our players play and live in Mount Pleasant, about 95%. A lot of them play for our rec program, which we're very thankful for, and 10 out of our 20 class of 2022s have committed to play in college. Huge, huge thing for our town, our area, and we, like pickleball, are running out of facilities. Cario is being converted over to a baseball field, which is gonna really hurt just the rectangular spaces in town. I've spoken with Mr. Santos about a potential private-public partnership. We've been trying to plan some sort of space to allow for many different sports to play in this town, a higher-end type of recreation sports facility. We also would like to take care of all the residents within the town, elderly as well, seniors, whatever you want to call them. And I can't thank Steve and Jimmy and his staff for their support of our program. They've done all that they can to give fields to rugby and soccer in the back there as well. And also we run the first ever competitive lacrosse tournament in town last summer. It was 32 teams. We had over 400 hotel nights all within the town of Mount Pleasant. And so the support of the committee, the department, I really can't thank you all enough. And I hope that we can find a way to provide more facilities for the town. We see every day I'm chasing moving trucks into town because we are a Northeast sport and we need all those people that are moving here. So they require high-end facilities. So we really need that. And I think anybody would be willing to pay $18 more on their home to get those facilities. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, yes.
Good morning.
Hello.
My name is Gary Brown. I live at 3688 Maidstone, and I'm here to further beat the pickleball to death. It's a hard plastic ball, so it can take it. And I certainly appreciate the work of the Mount Pleasant Recreation Department, and particularly your work. And I'm all in favor of doubling your salary this year if that issue comes up. I will also add to what I heard you heard from our ambassador, Al, here this morning. And I'd also like to add that in addition to all the things you've heard about pickleball, it can bring in a lot of tourists and can bring in tournaments here. And recently, there's been tournaments held up in Collins Park, which realizes $4,000 to the municipality as a result of the tournament. So it can be something that generates revenue. And I think the most important thing, as other speakers have noted, is it caters to a large amount of people versus a square footage of space. So you can get more pickleball players involved in the rec department activities very easily. The limited number that we have here in Mount Pleasant from a standpoint is it's being eclipsed by other municipalities. As you probably know, Charleston has them, Somerville has them, and Somerville's going to get a couple of them coming up. So it is very important, I think, for the well-being of most of the citizens here. I, in particular, am old and started this in May and found that it can help with your lifestyle, it can help with your social activity, and is a great improvement to the health and welfare of the community. And I certainly urge you to support the additional construction of dedicated pickleball courts, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Our next item is employee years of service recognition.
Good morning. And first, let me welcome you as our new chair.
Thank you
for being here, and look forward to working with you on all the recreation projects. Unfortunately, Matt Hansen, our employee that was going to be recognized this morning, has come down sick and is not unable to be here today, and was not able to join us. So we will not be recognizing him here today. We'll do that in-house.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll take care of that and make sure he gets recognized properly.
All right, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, next item is discussion with regard to referendum for recreation projects.
Marcy, if you don't mind, I'm going to just give them some information that I should have passed out beforehand.
So certainly.
Hand that to them. Referendum, but it's actually our projects, just in the aspect of this.
Yes, so thank you.
The types of things that
Thank you. Good morning. So in South Carolina, municipalities and counties, we do have a legal debt limit of what can be raised without a referendum. So it's part of the Constitution. So when we look at our assessed property value, we're right over $1 billion. The state mandate is 8%, which is $88.6 million. Our current outstanding debt that is subject to this limit is $56.6 million. So that means tomorrow, if town council would like to borrow, of course we'd need a funding source to support that borrowing, but if they did, we could borrow $32.1 million without going to referendum. Anything over that amount would require a referendum. And Mr. Pagliarini is going to talk a bit about what that referendum.
Thank you. Good morning, committee. You will see on the screen some highlights. I'll go to the bottom first so you all are aware of the dates and requirements. Of course, this assumes being prepared for the November 2022 election and working backwards from there. So the first deadline would be, and of course this doesn't account for special meetings, but you would certainly want to have a first reading of an ordinance on the referendum language by June. Final reading should be accomplished in July, and I have on here the July 12th meeting. There are respective 90 and 60 day deadlines to file the referendum questions with the Board of Elections, and the Board of Elections will prepare those for the ballot. Now, from a committee standpoint, it is important as to what is in the referendum. Specificity is the key, and we've highlighted some issues on here that that you may be aware of, but you'd like to rank the projects, provide maximum funding, sunset provisions, total maximum tax proceeds, detail as to each project. But what we want to avoid is just saying, for example, recreation improvements, and then leave it up to committee council to spend or decide as they wish. You have to be specific on the referendum or it will not be approved. So happy to answer any questions on those issues, but over the next few months that would certainly be the goal, is to try to narrow down, if you'd like to move forward with this, what is important, how is it ranked, and provide some estimates as to how much each project is going to cost.
Thank you. Madam Chair,
yes.
Can we get a copy of this? You can just put it in my box up there. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
So as I indicated, you could borrow. You could do a referendum and borrow. And then if you wanted to look at how that would look if you chose to pay it back by a millage rate increase. So looking at a residential tax bill of that's appraised value or market value of $500,000. If it's residential, it's assessed at the 4%, so that's $20,000 worth of assessment. Our current millage rate, this is operating and debt, is 39.3 mils. That generates a tax bill for just the town of $786. We currently, our local option sales tax credit factor is would reduce that bill by $140, so the resident pays $646 for both their operating and debt millage. A $1 million increase on that home generates additional, or to the cost to the home is an additional $20. We are using the $500,000. In the past, we have used $450, which was $18. The actual, per the county, the actual average value is currently $543,000. But for ease of calculation, we used the $500,000. Now, what would that generate per mill, or what does borrowing look like? So I just threw out three amounts, $25 million, $50 million, and $100 million borrowing. The interest rate is more of a factor of how long you go out the term as opposed to how much, unless you get to a real small borrowing, and then you might run into a premium. So in this case, for 10 years, you could see what the debt service would look like on each of those amounts and the number of mills that would be required, and then actual dollar amount for that $500,000 home. So $100 million for 10 years at a 2% interest rate. And I did talk to our financial advisors, and these rates are pretty, they're not real conservative, but they're realistic. Going out for a referendum in 22 and the borrowing to begin in 23. You would need $11 million to pay the debt service on that, or 10.8 mils, or the $500,000 house would pay annually an additional $216.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Any questions? Mr. Randolph?
I guess a lot of my questions are more along the lines of kind of where some of these projects currently stand. And I don't know if it's, if some of this is going to be discussed under programs and project updates. But I was mainly very curious about kind of where some of our current projects stand. I guess I can kind of go back and forth between those two items.
Certainly, I'll be happy to address it now. Sure. We have some funded projects that are going on right now. We are working on Carolina Park Phase 3. That is funded with $3.7 million. We do have estimates to complete that project that are higher than that, showing at 6.25. So we have a shortfall right now on the full completion of that project.
Now, and let's hold, if I may, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Yes.
That's only to do a couple features of that project. That is not build out of Carolina Park Phase 3. And Steve, would you mention that?
That is correct. That is not the full build out of Carolina Park. That is that's why it's listed here as Phase 3. Phase 3, it is a softball field, a baseball field, a dog park, pickleball and basketball court, and additional parking. There's also a large expense. I think we've explained it before, how in Carolina Park, because of the mm-hmm. low level of the land, it has to be raised up quite a bit. There's a lot of money that goes toward bringing the land up to grade. But that does not include bringing the entire park up to grade. That is that cost of the 6.25 is an estimate to bring it up to a grade in which it would not be declared a wetland in the future. So so we could build it up for these amenities that we have listed on here, and also prevent there from being any wetland issues over there.
So that doesn't include the without having an image, sort of the, I would guess, maybe northwest quadrant, the back mm-hmm. corner, the back quadrant of that project is still it would, once this project is complete, it would leave that area undeveloped.
As well as an additional softball field.
Yes.
There's an additional softball field that's part of that project, which would not be
developed. So really what we're leaving on the table is, if I remember correctly, the back corner would have had one full-size 11v11 field, correct?
Two.
So we're leaving on the table two additional 11v11 fields and a regulation girls softball field.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. And so the cost, so currently we have $3.7 million funded, and again, it says estimated cost $6.25 would do everything, or it wouldn't do everything.
Yes, and that's where we are today in negotiation with the contractor. We're going to find a way to meet this project. If we have trouble meeting it, then we'll be back to you for additional appropriation, but that's not the intent right now. I think perhaps if I may suggest, for ease of going through these, assume we will meet Carolina Park Phase 3. Assume we will meet all of those items, the softball field, the ball field, and what's listed there. And so it'll just be those two rectangular fields and the softball field left for that project.
Okay, so how much additional money are we talking then to?
$3-4 million. And this is why.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it is certainly more cost appropriate to do that all at once, correct? And you only have one construction supervisor on scene, the same contractor.
I can't disagree with that, but we're so far out of budget. It's sort of like we're over budget and can barely build the house, never mind the addition we want to build as well. We know we can't reach the addition, even though it would be cheaper to do it all at once. That's sort of the scenario we're looking at out there.
In this Carolina Park Phase 3 project, when is it scheduled to start?
That is scheduled to start around April. April of 2022.
Okay, so I'm just kind of throwing it out here just for conversation. But we have that 31 million in bonding capacity. Say, for instance, we wanted to say, while we're doing Carolina Park Phase 3, let's complete all of Carolina Park. And so let's borrow another $3 million or whatever it may be. How does that process work? What feels taking through that?
You're saying without a referendum?
Without a referendum, because we have the bonding capacity there.
Right. We would go through, we'd include it in the capital plan. We borrow the money. The biggest hurdle is the funding source to repay it. So council would have to correspondingly, if you couldn't identify another funding source, then you'd look to ad valorem taxes to fund the debt service on the bond. So if it cost you $3-4 million and you had no other funding source and you'd have to raise taxes enough to pay that note off, to reach that threshold. And you wouldn't have to go to a referendum because you're allowed to do it under the 8% constitution capacity.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Sanchez.
Yeah, just a quick question. I know we've had some folks out in the public have talked to us about public-private partnerships, and they have a lot of revenue out there. We got the land, we don't have the money to develop it, and they don't have the land, but they got the money to develop it. And so I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for us to be able to do that. Can we do something like that, I mean, legally with the public? For instance, if they want to come in and do that, finish that for us and use it for lacrosse and soccer and whatever else sports they're using for. I mean, I think I'd like to at least look at that and see how we could do that, if that's possible, because we need more facilities. There's no doubt about it. And there seems to be folks out there that say that they have revenue that they would like to put towards it. And I think that might be a way for us to do it without having to raise taxes. I could be wrong, Eric. You could correct me. Don't worry. I mean, I don't mind.
Been doing this long enough where, you know, I believe it when I see it type stuff. It's they sound great, but in any partnership, whether it's business or marriage or something, right, the other entity has to be able to perform.
Right.
And what happens all too often is the other side of the partnership, either they're we can't rely on them to be longstanding, meaning they might not have the financial stability to be able to be our partner for 15, 30, 50 years, right? Or they may not have the technical capacity to provide what we need them to provide if we're asking them to help us, you know, program or operate. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a successful partnership, and I hope that can occur.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm skeptical.
Yeah. My question is, legally, technically, it can be done if we find the right partner.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I want. Because I don't want to be thinking about this and pursuing an opportunity if I'm barking up the wrong tree, so to speak.
Yeah. We've had, today, we operate several partnerships. And some have worked successfully. But others have not, and we've had to discard them over the years.
Okay. No, that's good information, because that needs to be made public. The public needs to know if they have somebody that wants to and can have the ability to step up and partner with us. I mean, golly, you know, we solve our problems. We got fields, and it's not costing them, you know, our taxpayers anything. Mm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I have a question. Have we ever... How many neighborhoods do we have in this town, do we know, that have tennis courts that nobody uses? I wonder if any of those HOAs would be open to letting some of these groups pay to use private facilities. I know I own a condo in Mount Pleasant that's a rental, and there's a tennis court there that never seems to have anybody on it. So I don't know if we've ever looked into that kind of thing, or if any of these groups have. Can he?
It's up to you, Madam
Chair.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Come up to the podium, though, Al, sir. We can get you on the record, please. Sorry, man. You're a pickleball player. Come on.
I'm also 77 years old. I live in Bell Hall Plantation, and I think 2016, I made a plea to put pickleball courts on the tennis courts. It took me 6 months to convince the HOA, and we marked one tennis court, which is two pickleball courts. Then when they wanted to resurface it, we got all four pickleball courts put in. And we play on Monday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning. And I've had to limit the number, because one time we had 40 people show up, which is way too many for playing time. And so actually, we got someone that lives in Park West to use the public courts there. So they open up on Monday night, too, to split the crowd. I mean, that's why we say we need one facility, so that we can get everybody together. And there are a number of HOAs that have permitted it. There's also some that have been very resistant, because they have some, we'll say, hardcore tennis players that absolutely refuse to consider pickleball courts marked on them. But there are a lot of subdivisions and HOAs that have added. And when we put ours in, it's like $300 to mark each pickleball court. So we had four, so that's $1,200. So okay. Once you have the facility there, it's not that much more. And that was my plea about the other ones. Money is already being supposedly set aside for tennis courts. Instead of tennis, make some pickleball. The additional cost would be mainly you got four nets you'd have to have rather than two.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Where do we stand as far as monies collected for recreation impact fees? And are those just already spoken for within some of our current projects? Or how much are we collecting each year?
Yeah. I don't have that number. I'm not sure Marcy does. Do you?
It is part of our capital that we use that money, and then each year we'll report. So in January, I'll report on the collection and the use of the recreation impact fees. $200,000 a year.
Okay, so it's not a substantial amount.
And it's based on new residents only, not on commercial.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if I may, in the census may be helpful in any way. I'm curious the temperature as we go through this process, the appetite for council and how much to take on is very important, because just the Rifle Range Road project is $30 to $40 million. So there's 30 to 40 right there. So if a referendum were to move forward, and if council's appetite was not to go, say, above, I'm just using this for example, above 50 million, well, then it starts to get populated real fast. If it's 100 million or 75, different story. But the big one seems to be the Rifle Range Road project, and that's 40 million, likely. We don't have that number yet, but that's, I think we could pencil that one in.
That's correct. We have a several-year-old estimate that was around 30 million, and we know that it has gone up tremendously since then. And actually, if I may, the projects that I gave you, they total up, just to give you an idea, there are three of them that are funded, the Carolina Park, the Mount Pleasant Memorial Waterfront Park, and Mount Pleasant Way is funded a portion of it each year. That alone has a long-term price tag of about $60 million. The rest of them are not funded. But if you were to total them up, it adds up to about $70 million, not including the Mount Pleasant Way. So that's what we're looking at this time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Since you mentioned the Rifle Range project, with the county being nearby, are there some aspects of that project that could be shared, I mean, that are going to be an equal responsibility with the county that we'd have to coordinate?
It's an excellent question. It's mostly the roadways.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stormwater retention can be shared. But the 40 million number or so is just our half of that project. So it doesn't include their side.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Rambo.
Couple of questions. I've heard a lot about potential need for a second senior center. I know that our current senior center, certainly the membership took a dip.
Yes.
Last year as a result of the pandemic. Has that gotten back to where it was? Does staff see the need for that? I mean, are we fully maxed out and overcrowded at our current senior center?
We are not currently. We certainly were previously, and we did take quite a dip in membership over there. I think you have some of the membership numbers that was provided for you in the program report. We are still probably, we're at about 60% probably of where we were before pandemic.
Wow. Okay.
What number is considered to be for membership there the right one?
Just over 2,000. We've gone as high as 2,400 members, mm-hmm. But usually it hovers around, you know, previously it was hovering right around, you know, 2,100, 2,200 members. Currently we are at, chose on here, at 1,194.
Okay. I know currently the age is 50.
That's correct.
I guess if we were at, I don't know, that doesn't seem like a senior to me. If we were too crowded, we might could raise that to 55, but okay, we're not there yet, so it's fine.
But you bring up a good point. There, every program, there can be a very good, strong case made for more pickleball courts. There can be a very strong case made for more tennis courts, for more rectangular fields, for more diamonds, for an additional swimming pool, a warm water pool. There's very strong cases for all of these programs, and that is our role. To, you know, we're not a one area thing. So it is a we serve all different programs, all different types of things. We have a pool facility without lockers in a locker room, without air conditioning. That's a high priority. So all of these things that we would be pulling from a capital budget. There is all of these different programs can make a strong case for why they need funding for them, and so there's not just one thing that that would solve the problem. Just we need those more rectangular fields to take care of that program, because it has to be done equitably between all the different programs and all the needs that we have.
Okay, Mr. Sanchez.
I think, you know, some of the programs that I think we ought to be looking at. Right off the bat, you know, we just had an election, and in the forums that I've been in, when they've asked about how would we raise revenue here without raising taxes, I mentioned about bringing tournaments in. We have fields, we have facilities, we already have the public services folks to take care of them. These, as you heard Greer talk about, the amount of people that came in for his 32-team tournament, they come in, like I said, we already have our public services folks, we got the fields. They come in, they spend money, they stay in our hotels and in our restaurants and in our stores. We get accommodations tax, hospitality tax, sales tax, we rent
at the fields. It's pure revenue coming in without any extra expense, because we already have the employees that are out there cutting the grass and doing what they need to do. And so those are the kind of things that I want to see us kind of looking at first, because they pay for themselves. I mean, they're generating revenue, for not just for themselves, but they're paying for other things in the town. And overwhelmingly, I mean, you know, I felt like it was a major part of my accomplishment in the election, was the fact that I found a way to bring revenue into this town without raising taxes. And I think we need to look at that, and we need to pursue that as best we can, so that we can provide our citizens with an opportunity to get exercise and enjoy the sports they want without having to raise their taxes. I think it's staring us in the face, and I think you know, these Greer and Matt Palmer and these guys can prove to you without, you know, shadow of a doubt, that they can generate money here for us without having to raise taxes. And that's the kind of way I want to start looking at it, and see if we can't, I'm not saying have a tournament every day or tournament every week, but I think we could probably work it out such that people want to come here. We got a beach right here, you know, we got Town Center right there, we got, I mean, Charleston right here, that people are wanting to come here. Plus our citizens don't want to travel every weekend. You know, I heard John Acofano was talking about it. Every weekend he's gone. Jake, I think, goes off as well sometimes. I mean, it's nice for them to be able to stay home and play sometimes, but it's a revenue generator without having to raise our taxes. And if we can do that, I think my opinion is that's where we need to focus first. I think our citizens would agree, before you raise their taxes, they would want you to look at every available resource you could to not raise their taxes, but provide an excellent opportunity for them to have recreation facilities and be able to stay home sometimes and let their children play here. Instead of traveling all the time. So that's just my op-ed for the day.
do we have downtime on our fields enough to host tournaments like that? I mean, it sounds like
We host several tournaments each year.
Yeah.
We host several tournaments each year, and we host teams from all over every weekend on our facilities that are playing here every weekend.
Okay. Mr. Rambo.
All right. I have another question. So, obviously, a lot of great public comments regarding pickleball. Several of those folks mentioned the Whipple Road Tennis Center expansion. So, that's kind of like two things have to happen, right? Two things have to happen first. We've got to have the baseball field that's there currently. It's essentially being replaced with the new field at Carolina Park Phase 3.
That's correct.
Before we can even think about doing that tennis center expansion, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Is there a way, as we go through this process and looking at this referendum, in my 2 years on council so far and 2 years being on this committee, I've definitely heard the most from folks who are pickleball players, because there are no dedicated pickleball courts. Is there a way to see get some sort of conceptual drawing of what the Whipple Road tennis expansion could look like if we did some dedicated pickleball courts as well? And is there, I'd like to just be able to see what would be able to fit back there, or if we could just get some sort of analysis of that would be great.
It
doesn't have to be anything fancy.
We could pursue a conceptual drawing. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. I would love to see that as we move forward. I think that is it. And I just want to just say also, I live at these facilities between my three children, and there are some items on here that aren't necessarily sexy, so to speak, like athletic field drainage improvements. But shoot, with the rain we had in the fall, I mean, some of those baseball fields couldn't be used almost the entire fall season because they just held that water. So I think I just want us to be cognizant of some of these lower ticket items that aren't like these splashy new things, but just maintaining some of the things that we currently have are important.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Santos? Okay. All right. I think that covers everything. And we'll adjourn.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.